Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And happy Wednesday to you all. This is the Grace Hour coming to you live from our studio here in Baltimore. We are located at Greater Grace Church in East Baltimore, 6025 Moravia Park Drive, in the zip code of 21206. And I mention that address because it's important. Oh, by the way, introduce myself. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. I'm your host today. Pastor Love, John Love, is with the New York Knicks this evening, and given all that's happened in the basketball world with the death of the one of the greatest players in history, really, it's not a stretch to say that Kobe Bryant died with his daughter and several others on Sunday morning, and Pastor Love is going up there to minister to the basketball players as he does on a regular basis. So I'm with you today, and Pastor Ben from Jerusalem continues his week of talks on the things of the faith, and our faith is rooted in the people of Israel, and our Messiah, Jesus, was Jewish, fully Jewish, totally Jewish, lived Jewish, and so we're getting a lot of great insight. We want you to be a part of the program and listen to us, and then ask your questions, and you could do that, and also, we'd like to invite you out tonight to a midweek service that we have every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Again, the address here is 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore, Greater Grace Church. Come on out. We'll sing some songs. We'll have a great message from the Bible. And we also have an on-site cafe, and you can hang around afterwards because we love to gather and fellowship and ask questions. You can ask questions of the preacher. If you come to our church, the preachers are very available to answer and talk to you about the questions that might be stirred up in your mind. So that's a regular occurrence here at Greater Grace, so in our evening services. So come on out tonight, 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you. Again, the numbers to call today here on the radio, 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. Welcome to the radio audience on WRBS. Baltimore, Positive Talk, 12:30 a.m. And with that station identification, I now turn the program over to Pastor Ben.
Yes, it's so great to be with you again. This beautiful day here in Baltimore City. We were talking about it, how much is happening right now. I'd like to continue where we were yesterday. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When Jacob comes from a far away, actually not very far in today's terms, but by foot it was a long walk, with his new family that he had gained, he's coming back to the land. There's one thing that he's been fearing all these years. One day I'm going to meet my brother. This is the day. He has been struggling with this question. And now in chapter 32 of Genesis, in verse 6, Jacob is preparing to meet his brother. And the messengers returned to Yaakov, or Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet you, and 400 men are with him." It doesn't look so good. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and herds, and the camels into two bands. and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. We as humans are prone to make plans, and it is not wrong in a way to make plans, but Jacob knows that he needs God. You may be in a situation today that there's no one else to turn to but God. And if we are really depending on Him daily, we should always in our hearts be in this situation. I can only depend on the Lord. I cannot trust my own self, not my wisdom or any man. I just need God. And in verse 9, Jacob prays. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will dwell with thee. He did the best thing. He remembered the Lord's promise. We must take the Lord at His word. We must hide those promises in our heart. It takes time to meditate on the promises. We've got to get off that fast lane and just let these promises sink to our hearts, rehearse them, and pray with the word. What Jacob is doing here, he's praying with the word. He's praying with the word. That's what we need to do. And then the next thing what he says is, he says, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. How great is God's goodness to us. How faithful He has been. And it's so important always to take stock at ourselves and say, it's not my worthiness. I do not deserve anything. And that helps us to live in terms of grace. Grace and thankfulness go together. We're nothing in ourselves. We're not able to produce anything by ourselves that is of lasting value. Oh God, deliver me, in verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. We should not fear, but we fear. We need to give our fears to the Lord. And then thou hast said, again he appeals to the promise, I will surely do you good, do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. He's reminding God of His promise. The Father loves that. God loves it when we remind Him of His word, when we remind Him of His promise. Now, what transpires then is that he meets his brother Esau, and there's the wrestling match. There's the wrestling match that happens with the angel, who's actually a messenger of the Lord, even the Lord himself, just like we read later on in the book of Hosea. Okay, and this amazing messenger changes his name in verse 28. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. What is your name? And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He came limping. He came limping. How many times we want to approach a situation? How often we want to go to a new challenge with full strength? And something happens. God reduces our strength. We are constantly being reduced down. We are not going in full steam, in full confidence. We go limping. But that is where the Lord's wisdom is hidden. When he goes limping and Esau comes with 400 men, Esau looks at him and says, "This man is no match to me." His heart melts. Whatever ice there was, the hard feelings, Esau's heart is melting, and he goes and embraces his brother in chapter 33. And it's amazing. When he came in weakness, the situation was resolved so easily. There was no battle. There was no struggle. When we learn to cooperate with the weakness of God, weakness that we have no trust in ourselves, the grace of God will come in. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Our natural man hates it. We like to feel strong. We like to feel ready. We like to be full of plans. That's me, that's you, that's all of us. That's our natural. But God reduces us to nothingness. But then there's something very, very interesting, and I really wanted to stop here for a moment. The thing that he feared so much, meeting his brother, turned out to be the easiest thing. But the thing that he didn't fear was the trap. That happened later when he arrives into the land of Canaan, or Canaan, as we say in Hebrew. He came to a place called Sukkot. Chapter 33 and verse 17. Jacob journeyed to Sukkot, which means like tabernacles, booths, same name as the Feast of the Tabernacles, and built him a house. Ah, now he builds a house. That means he has a plan to stay there longer time. He built his house, but in a very dangerous place where was no apparent danger. God warns us repeatedly, trust in the Lord with all and in all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your hearts. I do not know where the danger lies. What I think is a great danger may not be a big deal at all. But where I see no danger, there could be a hidden danger to the spiritual life, to the cause of the kingdom of God. So he builds him a place there, a house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Sukkot. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shrem, which is in the land of Canaan. He goes a little further. Yes, yes. When he came from Paran Aram and pitched his tent before the city. Now that's the place where the danger lies. And he bought a parcel of a field. Now he really has an intention to stay. When you buy something, you want to stay there. Uh-huh. Where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor. Shem's father for 100 pieces of money. And there he erected an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. Wonderful. He builds an altar. The altar is a right altar, and the action is a right action, but it's really too close to this city. And what follows is a terrible story. Chapter 34 is so sad. Where they join the people of the city, they make a covenant with them. And this covenant is turning out to a disaster. And two of the brothers, Shimon and Levi, or how do you say in English, Simon and Levi, I don't know how you, the names kind of change here. And they pull out swords and break the covenant and kill brutally all these people. Oh, chapter 34 and verse 30. And Jacob said to Shimon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. I'm a few in number only. They shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. He says, we are few in number. Keep that in mind. Now when you read in Psalm number 105, here is the story. Psalm 105 goes into this. We start from verse 12. When they were but a few men in number, it's referring to the same incident, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And that the context is this is even verified by what follows. Then he's going to talk about the famine that comes in the land and Joseph. So what happened in history is in the beginning of chapter 35 of Genesis. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. You did the right action. You build a right altar, but the place for the altar ought to be in the house of God, not in front of such a place where it was. That God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of thy brother Jacob. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Now we may be wondering, were they still having these terrible things in their pockets, some idols that were small size? And yeah, they had them. Jacob never liked it, but this was the moment he knew this could be a make it or break it moment. We gotta be clean. This is what we need before the Lord. We need to put away those things that hinder, that are against God, and then go for the grace of God. Verse 3 says, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. He was all the way with me. And then it says, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. You know, they should have done that long ago, but it's never too late to repent. Whatever I have that I shouldn't have in my hands, let's put it away today by the power of God's grace. And all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And then verse 5 says what was recorded in Psalm 105. I don't know if you ever considered it before, but it's about this. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon their cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of God, sons of Jacob. And this is when God said to them, "Do my prophets no harm." Wait a minute. Did he call the sons of Jacob prophets? They did some terrible things? Yes. There's no other way to interpret this literally. They were not prophets per se because they prophesied something. Everything that happened to them was prophetic. This is the true grace of God. He did not leave his children. They turned to him with all of their hearts. He protected them. Let us trust this grace of God for ourselves. Amen.
You're listening to the Grace Hour. You've been listening to the voice and the words of Pastor Ben from Jerusalem. He's been with us all week here at Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. And if you're in the area, we invite you out tonight to a meeting. 7 o'clock. It's our regular Wednesday evening service. We meet every Wednesday at 7 o'clock to sing, to share the word, and also to fellowship. So come on out, 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore. Also, we invite your comments and questions right now for Pastor Ben on these subjects, 1-800-338-7060, and also 410-483-3700 are the numbers to use. The question here from one of the listeners, and it's, Pastor Ben, how long have you been reading the scriptures in Aramaic? Your study and communion with the Lord is a special rich blessing to us all. May many take full advantage of this to show up and listen to your portion. But
I believe it was the year 2000, and now it's 2020 or something like that. So I would say it's roughly 20 years. Someone brought me a copy of the Aramaic, actual Aramaic New Testament, not a translation of Aramaic, but Aramaic New Testament. And, you know, we have seen various Bibles, and some are called the Living Bible. But when I got the Aramaic in my hands, I felt, this is the Living Bible for the New Testament.
Yeah. And this is, you know, speaking of the Reformation of the Church, we know that the Reformation of the Church was started really when a Dutchman, Erasmus, got the Greek scriptures in his hand and started to see what was there. So we know that when you get something in like an original language, it can do something to your heart, right?
Yes. I'm aware of it, that scholarship has particular views, and I like to keep it this way, that there are two witnesses. There's the Greek witness and there's the Aramaic witness. They are pretty independent witnesses. Mm. And these two witnesses are witnessing for the same testimony, for the same Messiah. There are riches in both languages. Greek has the tenses that are so amazing, that point out the accuracy of God's thought. But the depth, the mystical depth that is in the Hebrew Old Testament, Tanakh, as we say, that is, that depth is in the Aramaic as well. So thank God for all of them.
That's true. God invented the language. He created the languages. I think he created the languages for a particular purpose. You could comment on this, but I'm thinking in the Tower of Babel, or however you would say it, Babel. That would be the correct saying, right? So at that tower, he separated people who were trying to create their own way to God. And I think it was like, you know, faith comes by hearing. And until then, people didn't really have to listen for a certain sound. Once Babel came, everyone had to listen for someone talking like them in order to have a relationship, right?
Right. In one sense, every Bible is a translation, even the first one, where divine thought and divine language was translated into human language. God speaks our language. And I love how on the day of Pentecost, the Lord emphasizes there in the book of Acts that it's the Spirit of the Father. Mm. So when the apostles spoke in the precise languages of these people groups, that gave them a sense there's a Father in heaven who's speaking the language of our hearts, the language of our emotions. The Father understands every language.
Mm. So good. You're listening to the Grace Hour. We're about a minute and 30 seconds away from signing off on WRBS. Want to thank you for being with us, you radio listeners. It's great to have you every day. We're on 12:30 a.m. WRBS Positive Talk Radio in Baltimore. And if you can do this, you can transition over to our Grace Hour website. That is gracehour.org, all one word, no capitals, gracehour.org. Or you can flip to Facebook Live or YouTube, and we are streaming this discussion live until 2 o'clock today. So we really invite you to be a part of this. Pastor Ben will be with us here at Greater Grace through the week, so he'll be here tomorrow in the morning and at noon and in the evening here, 11 o'clock, 12:30, and 7 p.m. He'll be sharing his thoughts on these things, and also on Friday, the same time. So you could stop by any of those times during this week. It's absolutely free. We'd love to have you be a part of our audience, and Pastor Ben really has a lot to share and enjoy. We enjoy listening to his discussion on these things. It's great. But we do have something, a particular question for you. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that something that you have done? This is the greatest gift you could give to our radio program. That is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and become a believer in Him. It's very simple. The twinkling of an eye. Just turn to Him and make a decision for Christ. Do that and then tell us that you've done it. Friends, have a great afternoon. For all those online, stay right where you are. We'll keep talking. Okay, this is the Grace Hour. We thank you for being with us online. We do have some Facebook Live comments here. Wow, Pastor Ben, so anointed. Look forward to hearing more of your word tonight. That's Carolyn Arbor. Hi, Pastor Ben. Can you pray for my wife and her health and for God to heal her from these leg cramps? We also have a prayer that's asked from Indira, who's in India, saying that her brother and cousin Balan, I hope I'm saying that right, is in critical condition in the country of Dubai. So she's praying for his life. So do you want to pray for those people, Pastor Ben? Just
yes, I have a little bit difficulty to see the screen because my glasses are a particular way, like reading glasses. But let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the power of the name of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus from Nazareth. And we bring these healing needs now. We bring these names to you right now. Thank you that we can be like little children and say, these precious people need healing. Thank you that you hear us. We're asking in agreement in your precious name. And we thank you now that you are answering while we are yet speaking. Thank you in your precious name for the answer. Amen.
1-800-338-7060. That's a phone number, toll-free number if you'd like to call us, 410-483-3700. The other number, George from Baltimore is calling. George, you're on the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Steve and Pastor Ben. So blessed to hear you today. I just got like a question for Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben, while we were out on the cruise, you know, Pastor Love had done a rap, and during the rap he had mentioned, you know, that all the prophecies have been fulfilled. Nothing needs to happen. Jesus can come at any time now. And yes, I know that. And but my question is this. As we look around in today's society, and you look at the Word of God, and it says, in the latter days, men will look at good and call it evil, look at evil and call it good, children disobedient to parents. And with everything that's going on, you know, the transgenderness, the homosexuality, all the stuff that's going on, it would make Sodom and Gomorrah blush. You know, and my question to you is this. Do you feel that we've already entered into the first stage of the beginning of sorrows?
The beginning of sorrows is not yet the time of the tribulation, but it is talking about the birth pains. I think as we look at the nature of things, I do believe that we are feeling the birth pains. When we see the world around us, that it is not normal. Things are not normal, and we are being almost forced to accept the new norm. The new norm is what Isaiah the prophet says, that darkness covers the nations and gross darkness the peoples. And when that happens, it's also the time when God says that upon you the light has shone. But this darkness is very much in a moral way, that if you believe what is supposed to be a normal thing, you're the oddball, you're really strange in the eyes of the people. This is really part of the birth banks. I do believe that. At the same time, we do believe what Mark 13 says. In verse 37, what I say to you, I say to all of you, watch. In other words, watch and be ready. We need to be ready for the Lord any moment. But this darkness is still going on and getting more dense. Therefore, we need the supernatural armor of God in Ephesians 6. The Word of God, prayer, body, life. And then we need daily cleansing. We need all this. We need all this. The Word of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ben. That was beautiful. That was really timely and right on the mark. Thank you. I love you dearly.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Grace Hour. We have this comment, a question from Laura on the YouTube. Thanks you for listening. She's listening from Budapest. She says, it's amazing that the sons of Jacob were called prophets. I actually was reading the story of Joseph a few days ago. And I think that's, and as soon as he revealed his dreams to his brothers, it's amazing that they knew the interpretation. God's revelation was on them. So the brothers were angry, but they sensed the reality of Joseph's future exaltation. Is that true? Do you?
The brothers were angry, and even though their motives were so terrible, Joseph, of course, when he got these dreams, the dreams were from God. It would have been wiser for him to keep it for himself. But in our youthful excitement, we do everything. You remember your own life, and I remember mine when we did many things. And God used all that to fulfill his plan. If he had been wiser, the plan would not have been fulfilled the way it was. It's amazing how God works.
And it just, I think, when you go through the Bible like we do, we see the thread of grace very evident all the time. Like you just talked about this disastrous chapter, which outside of the book of Judges, it's one of the most disastrous chapters in the Bible. It's like a terrible story. A woman gets raped, and then guys kill a whole city, and one of them is Levi, but Levi then becomes the priestly tribe, and Aaron, we see, he throws the gold in, and out comes this calf, evolved somehow, and Aaron is still the chief priest. It's like there's a thread of grace that comes for this.
Yeah, and God has amazing way to turn even a curse into a blessing. Like these two tribes, Shimon and Levi, they inherited a very difficult blessing from their father. Shimon, his portion was kind of divided in the towns of the Judah territory in the south. They didn't have like their own lot of land that way. Levi was scattered in various cities, in various places. But the fact that when they were scattered, they were ready to be the teachers of the nation. The dividing point was when the golden calf incident happened, and Moses said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." Well, the Levites came to him. So they received the blessing, and now they could be the teachers. And that which looked like a raw deal in the blessing, that they were divided all across in different towns everywhere, that they were not unified, that was a blessing because they were the teachers of Israel. They were positioned, ready to go. So everything can be turned to a blessing.
It's like the Great Commission, only in the Old Testament. The Great Commission to scatter a priestly tribe in all the towns to teach, right?
Exactly. That's well said.
You're listening to the Grace Hour. We have a caller from Baltimore. Arbor is on the air. Arbor, go ahead.
Hey, Pastor Ben, thank you for your prayer for my wife. But I like something like what you said last night. But I want to hear about more about the watchman, if you can talk more about that, because it was amazing. I want to hear about the watchman.
Okay.
The watchman in the Bible.
I can say a few words about the principle of the watchman. One of such watchmen was Prophet Samuel. Many times the watchmen were, in the Old Testament, they were prophets. But in our time, it can be something like in Colossians chapter 4, there's a watchman for the church called Epaphras, who it says he's one of you, Colossians 4:12, a servant of the Messiah who salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete or filled in all the will of God. That's beautiful, and I believe that God has so many people whom he's called specifically to, with the other duties, to specially concentrate, to pray. And it's like this, that those that listen to God and pray, God can use them as watchmen. We don't have to give them specific titles. And he's just a man. He's a man of God here. But this is so precious. In Old Testament time, they stand out usually as prophets and in that type of a capacity. But watchmen can be, in the New Testament time, people that really pray and they know what are the real needs.
That answer your question,
thank
Arbor?
You. God bless.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
You're listening to the Grace Hour from Southern California. This is Natalia, one-time Ukrainian princess, now married to an American. Natalia saying, greetings from Southern California, Pastor Ben. It's been so refreshing to hear you this last few days, such depth, width, height, and wisdom and knowledge of the heart of God and his word. She wants you to comment on Esther 8:15. What do the colors that Mordecai wore, do they have a meaning? And they seem to be the same colors on Jerusalem's flag, except the purple. So she's sorry if it's off topic, but it's a good question. It's stimulating.
Let's read the verse, and I said, God, help me to find it quickly. I opened it, and it opened right up to that chapter. Okay, 8:15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue. Blue is, of course, the color of heaven. Now, there's various kinds of blues, but blue is the color of heaven. heavenly life, that which is above, and white. White is a color of righteousness. In heaven, there's so much white, white horses, white robes, and with great crown of gold. Gold is speaking about the nature of God, the divine nature. Let's keep in mind, we also are partakers through Messiah's glorified humanity, that is, we're partakers of the divine nature, as Peter writes in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And with a garment of fine linen especially is referring to righteousness, and it may be even righteous living connected with faith righteousness that produces such love, understanding, and dedication that we live glorifying God in righteous living, but it's faith righteousness above all. And purple, which is royalty, amazing colors. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. They were rejoicing with flying colors.
Yeah, that's a good... Yeah, so does that answers your question, I hope, Natalia. There, those colors are indicative through the typology of the Old Testament, just the things that it represents. It's like this. It's rich to study those things and think about them. Julie in London, yes, Grace Hour audience, we just ask you to pray for her husband, Russell. He's been in the hospital since Friday. Lord, we just ask you to bless Russell and Julie in London. Thank you, Julie, faithful listener from Greater Grace in Navi, Mumbai. They are saying they're watching there. And Natalia says thank you for that. Let's see. I have a question here. You mentioned this place, this city that Jacob settled down in. It was the same word for booths. And I noticed that I was reading Nehemiah this morning, and the people were weeping, and then they were commanded to stop weeping and to start celebrating. And then they were told to rekindle this celebration of the Feast of Booths. Now, this feast seems to be like one of the more playful, happy feasts. It's not, you know, there's no atonement attached to it. It's just really a feast of remembrance. How do you, I mean, you obviously celebrate it every year in Israel. How is it there? Is this a happy feast? Is this a playful kind of thing to go out in a tent and live under branches and things like that?
In the series of the feast, this is the last one. It's like a culmination of everything. This is like the best of the best. It is a great feast. It is connected also with the idea that when they gave all these sacrifices, the number 70 comes out here. And they believed that there was also sacrifices for the nations of the world. There's like an anticipation that in the final kingdom of the Messiah, all the nations will come to Israel. Then when you read in Zechariah 14, it says that all the nations will come in a messianic kingdom and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's actually the only feast that we are told will be celebrated. Many other things will not continue the same way, but the Feast of Tabernacles will be there. And actually the whole 1,000 years, because it's filled with righteousness and the glory of God, will be a feast. So righteousness gives us a feast. Sinful life, it's not a feast. It's the opposite of what the world is saying. The world is saying sin is fun, sin is cool, go and get yourself in trouble. No. Righteousness, when it's God's gift, is attractive, joyful, great.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you. You're listening to the Grace Hour. You could call us at 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. About 15 minutes to go in our program today. From Massachusetts, we have a call, and this is Jenny. Jenny, welcome. Hello?
Hi, Pastor Steve. Hi. Hello, Pastor Ben?
Yes, you are there already. My goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I took a I took a 5-day R&R. My precious husband said, go for it. And I arranged it at a time when I knew you would be there. But I had to come back for work and also a commitment this weekend. But, you know, number one, I just want to thank you. When we are with you and when you open up the word to us, and of course, and also this also is the way it is with Pastor Schaller, Pastor Schiavelli, and so many others, but your portion, it's a deep, deep soak in the word of God and in the, not just the word of God, but the life of God. And, I just wanted to thank you. I didn't get a chance to thank you face to face, but I just want to thank you and with all my heart for making the journey over here and spending this time with us. And I'm on my laptop already, just taking notes as you speak, and I'll go into the archives to get what I can't get live. But thank you. And you know, Pastor Ben, last night at the wrap, when you and Pastor Schaller were going back and forth, I thought of Proverbs 20, verse 5. For both of you, you were doing this to each other. Counsel in the heart of man is like water in a deep well, but a man of understanding draws it out. And we love it when you interact with Pastor Schaller and others like this, that there's so much deep depth of the scriptures in you, depth of life in you. And last night I was thinking of both of you, and you were drawing it out of each other. And we were just, you know, wanting to jump up out of our chairs and jump up and down for joy at what we were hearing. And I just thank you so much for that. And, you know, I have so many questions and comments, but there's one thing I wanted to say in particular, if I may.
Sure.
Pastor Ben, from Sunday night till last night, and then again this morning when I was thinking about this, I read Psalm 135 and 136 early this morning, and I read in verse 4 of 135 and verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for he is gracious and lovely. And then verse 4, for the Lord has chosen the descendants of Jacob for himself, Israel for his peculiar possession and treasure. And something you said really clicked, that, you know, a lot of people in the world have trouble. They think that Israel and the Jewish people are arrogant, thinking that, oh, we are the God, we are chosen by God, we are his people, this is our land, this is the land that he gave us. But, you know, I thought he had to choose somebody. He gave his only begotten son to show us what he's like. And so we could, you know, if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. But if he didn't choose a people group, a nation to interact with, to relate to, we have no idea how he would deal with us when we are stubborn, when we're stiff-necked, when we're rebellious, when we follow hard after false gods. And how would we know that he is so infinitely merciful, inexhaustingly loving and gracious to us if we hadn't first seen it acted out with Israel over and over and over again before the cross, before the new covenant? And you made that very clear in your messages to me.
Thank you. You are so discerning. You are so discerning. Wow, it's all that we've experienced is the grace of God. And I'll make a very quick comment about that. The elder brother in Luke 15, when the younger brother came and there was a big party thrown to him, that's kind of like the church party. And so the elder brother is thinking, I'm not going to that party. But pay attention, I'm saying to myself, that let's all pay attention to how the father speaks to the elder brother. He doesn't get angry and say, get over it, you self-righteous bigot. No, he says, look, my son, Wasn't it right that this son who was far, now he was dead, now he's alive, he was far, now he's back. Wasn't it right for me to... He talks with such gentleness and kindness to him. And that's the way God is talking also to the natural Israel who is on the way to salvation, revelation. That's the Father's heart. That's the Father's heart. It's good to all. Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye.
Jenny from Massachusetts, 8 minutes to go today on the Grace Hour, 1-800-338-7060, 410-483-3700. Those are the two phone numbers you can use if you'd like to call us and share a thought or two on these things. Pastor Ben from Jerusalem. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, and you're listening to the Grace Hour radio program online. And again, just a reminder tonight, 7 p.m. here at Greater Grace Church in Baltimore at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'll have a evening service beginning at 7 p.m. Music, worship, a message from the Word of God, and time to ask and talk and fellowship around the things that we hear. So you're invited. All are invited. All are welcome. Come on out if you're not doing it on this Wednesday. That's right. There's nothing good on TV. Come on. Nothing good on TV. Yeah, that's all. We don't need to, you know, you just come on out and have fellowship with the body of Christ. Right?
Right.
And so we've avoided the topic, but maybe some people have questions. I mean, you know, the news is out. It's kind of interesting. You talked about at the beginning of Jacob, a very strategic kind of crafty kind of person who likes to get everything in order. But there, I can't help but think that some people get things done by creating chaos over here in order to go this way over here. And I'm not saying that about anyone in the political realm, or maybe I am, but I'm just saying it's kind of interesting that the chaos of the situation that's going on in the United States governmentally, and all of a sudden comes what would be the biggest headline in the world if this was to transpire, right? This deal with between the Israel and Palestinians creating a dual kind of existence there in the land.
Yeah, it's amazing because what you think is the biggest story, another one shows up, which is even bigger.
Yes.
so what? Which one gets buried under which one? It depends what you choose to listen. Yes. Amazing. Simply amazing.
Yeah, so I mean, I know you have a lot of thoughts on, you're thinking about it. It's hard to process, probably, for anyone who's concerned, or you're a resident of that country, and it's hard to imagine that this would actually be a reality.
In one way, this what transpired yesterday in terms of the peace deal initiation, it's the first time when Israel has more or less officially agreed to a deal that has defined borders. This is really something new. It is really something new, but it's not altogether something new. It's based on previous things and many things. But what I keep in mind is that a time signed the Lord's hand. He is fulfilling His word. He has a plan for Israel. He has a plan for the body of His Son. And while certain things happen on the earth, we are getting ready to meet the Master. We're getting ready to be the bride of the groom. That's what it's about.
You're listening to the Grace Hour. Any questions, comments out there, get them in now. Let's see. Jane is saying amen. Thank you. Natalia says thank you. God bless. God bless Jenny for her comments. Arbor called upon the Lord in 2011, and I got saved. And I love the call to bring many people to Jesus. Jomi, could you share your thoughts on the phrase "desire of all nations" used in Haggai 2:7?
What is the desire of all nations? I have just a thought, and I don't know if it's in any way interpretation of it, but the nations are looking for They don't say we're looking for the Messiah, we're looking for... They're looking for someone who can bring righteousness, justice, peace, order, happiness to the world. They're looking for it from the wrong place. We know in the Bible prophecies they will put their faith in something wrong, but what they're really looking for is in our Messiah, who died and rose again. So we pray that they can see in their hearts who it is that they're looking for, what it is they're looking for.
It's interesting. Yeah, I read I read this story, New York Times writer, very secular, very almost atheist, and she got married and her husband and her, they had a son. And it's like really kind of interesting. And she talks about this son watching a soldier who had died coming back, and he folds his hands and begins to pray. He's four. They have never taken him to church. They have never taught him anything about who Jesus is. And he was embarrassed by it because he knew that his parents were like, he had heard them talk about God this way. And so a four-year-old has a desire in his heart. It's like there is something in man that longs to pray. And this woman wrote this article in the New York Times about a decade ago, and it said this. It's like she was coveting Luke's faith. Like her four-year-old said, well, I just believe God is. And he was but he knew that it was embarrassing to pray for some reason. It's interesting.
Yeah, the God consciousness is like little children have it. Little children have it, and it's only when the world tries to steal it away. But it's there, even in a way that they were born. It's there.
Yeah, it's like I'm just thinking about that scripture from Haggai. If the desire of the nations has been, it goes along with Ecclesiastes, God has set eternity in the hearts of man. Well, friends, we've come to the end of our program today. Pastor Ben, he'll be here tomorrow and Friday also. We want to thank you for being a part of our broadcast today. And again, remind you, that we do have a meeting here at Greater Grace Church at 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore, beginning at 7 o'clock, and you're invited to be a part of that. We'll hear a great message from the Word, sing some great songs to the Lord, and enjoy ourselves fellowshipping around the life of Christ. So for Pastor Ben, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Our engineer producer today has been Sebastian Palmieri. We all say to you, have a great and gracious, awesome afternoon.
Shalom. Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.